This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Okay, so we saw Beis in the Likutim yesterday, and now on page 98... let's take a look at Dalet. Okay. Bigmar Megillah. Lehuda was Ayur Vesan was Asimi Kar. Amr Behuda. Ayur Zu Teira, Vecheno Ayme Kiner Mitzah Teir Ar. Simcha Zeyantiv, Sasa Zu Midla, Vikar Le Tfilin. So, Chazal, so the Pasuk tells me one thing. It tells me some nice generic things. And Chazal dash are very specific things. If there was a gzeira on all of these in Yonim, so why don't you say that, yes, it, you know, now there was no gzeira. I mean, well, why be so coy about it? Why write this poetic lashon and so on and so forth? Rak, bira dava hu, ki gam begolos hoylam teira. And so on. So the first thing is that the Sfasemis asks why everything is Bermiza, and he answers because it wasn't true. It doesn't say anywhere that there was a Gzeira on Mila, Gzeira on Teira. There was no such Gzeira. But because they were Tachas Yad HaMolek, they didn't feel the pnimius of it, the horror of it, and that's what came back to them. I want to try to explain that a little bit, what that means, why, what, when, how. In other words, let's take an example. If a person, for instance, tastes honey, it tastes sweet. It's a metzias. And it's hard to see circumstances that could change that. Maybe there are circumstances, but it tastes sweet, that's what it is. Now, when we're talking about ruchnistika hagoshis, things begin to change. And I want to explain why and how. Most of the things in the world that are not physical tanugos, then the hargosha of toiv in it will depend on a paradigm a person has. For instance, let's take an example. Let's take a simple example. Somebody comes from Mars, just the kind of from someplace else, and he sees a house with a few acres of land and a whole bunch of other stuff somewhere out in the sticks, somewhere out in your hoopits, and he asks, "How much does it cost?" They tell him this costs $100,000, just putting it out. Okay, so he has a musik. Then we take him to a crowded city, to a downtown of a crowded city. He walks into a tiny apartment, and they tell him, "How much does this cost?" $1 million. So it doesn't make any sense. Well, yeah, because this is the city. But so what? The answer is, he doesn't have a musik of the concept of a city and being in the action and being near this, the whole thing doesn't, he doesn't have that whole build-up. And b'meila, the idea that this is special, it doesn't make any sense. Maybe it's closest, like safe gas and going to work, I can walk, seder. But I don't get the idea of, you know, being in the heart of things, the sentence of v'cholo v'cholo. A person, two people are talking, and one person says with a lot of pride, you know, my son is the quarterback in the high school football team. Was that? I know he throws the ball and everybody runs. Okay, you know. Well, don't you understand? He's the quarterback. He is the quarterback. Okay? I mean, it doesn't mean anything. Because in one world, the structure of the world is built around sports. In the other world, it's not. So if it's built around sports and so on, so this is mamish, the shleimus of Tzuras Adam. For someone else, I don't know. So he throws a ball and people run. Okay? Say it. The many of the things, we value them by the context that we have. So a person is sitting and learning. So what does that mean? Well, in a context where a person's life is haskel b'yadei oisi, then this person is hitting home. This person is has the most direct route to achieving what we're all working for. If you don't come from that world, beseda, okay. So he does it. But the sense of value of something, depreciation, the enjoyment, the hair of it depends on a certain context. Golus, first and foremost, is geyus zarcha be'eretz lehem. They're going to be strangers in a land that's not theirs. In and of itself, it's not such a terrible gzeira. If I tell you, you know, you're going to have to relocate to Paris and v'cholo v'cholo, say that's nice, it's good, it's fine. I don't have any sense of that. It's, you know, it's nice, it's good. How does that rate with v'avodim v'inoisim? Ger zach lalahem. It's not that they had independence in real sense. It wasn't as if they were the nation, the country of Israel. I know they lived in Canaan, they had their own world, and then they had to move into Mitzrayim. So they had to have a Mitzrayim flag. Before the Gzeris, before the Abdus, before the Inui, what was the problem of Gezer Achzalahem? The answer is the Eretz describes the context, the society I live in, the world I live in. Gez Arzon means they're going to be Bal Karchach in part of another world. And in that world, you can learn Torah, but what does it mean to learn Torah? Doesn't mean very much. Beseda, so this guy studies anthropology, he studies Torah. Beseda, it's the same thing. Dusty old books, doesn't mean anything. It's very hard to conjure up the sense of chashivas or something when the world around me doesn't have that chashivas. And b'meila, the golus was, and especially in the golus over there, the golus was that there was no oira in the Torah. There was no ha'ara because, okay, it was a task, it was this, you believe Hashem will give schar. That's great. But I don't feel that there's anything valuable in it. The feeling of it was what happened when they redeemed. So Chazal are giving us an insight into the pasuk that Lewis of a single sesame car is not just stam. They made celebrations and they fired firecrackers, so they got oira and they drank wine, they had simcha, and so on. It was something, it was a quality in the world of mitzvahs that began to shine through when the stranglehold of the Gulls was broken. So when people came to America, before the war, the immigration in America, where everybody came out, everyone lost it. The reason wasn't, yeah, there were certain things, Shabbos was very difficult, but everything else was because it's meaningless. In Europe, if you were the Talmud Chacham, you were Chashev, and everybody in the Shtad had respect for you, and being a Talmud Chacham, and being a this, being a that. America didn't appreciate it. So you didn't appreciate it either. And there was no Ha'ara, and there was no Simcha in Shabbos, and so on. The same thing with Shabbos and Yontif. In a world where doing things in spare time is this Simcha, so Shabbos and Yontif, where you can't do anything, where you're stuck at home, there's no Simcha out of it. Sasa Zumila is explained. Okumesha Amad David Amelach Al Shalom. Sos Anoichal Masach Mas Shal Rav. We call Mrs. Mila. And I and Rashi, so Rashi brings the Gemara Menaches, that when Dov was in the Merchatz and he saw that there was a mitzvah still there. Ki sos anikra simcha yaseira, u kimi shemoitze shal rav vasachas. Shal simcha gdoila. Ki mitzvah mili ba'pchina shabipam achas nis'alu of gdoila, shenishtane gufoi, mi guf shal goi leguf kadosh Yisrael. The Goyen says this also. Most Mepharshim say that the difference between Sasa and Simcha is an ongoing tranquility, happiness, like a person has a happy marriage. It means that day in, day out, it's good, it's positive, it's pleasant. Sasa is a spike, an extraordinary high moment of Simcha. That's what Sasa is. So it refers to an event that's yoytze min haklal. All mitzvahs that we do gradually change a person, improve a person, good, and so on and so forth, comes and goes. Mila was a sudden change where a person got a guf kaddish. So sasna applies to Mila. Chazal dover tzivil elafter al mitzvahs Mila. The understanding that Mila, so the Kedusha that Yisrael has built into him is something that were to be developed, it would take forever. Take a very long time. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was choysim of an oispis kodesh, and in one instant, a child is imbued with a certain mark of kedusha, that's something that fits us. V'ikar elu tefillin, v'cheinu oimeh, v'roa kol ame oretz, ki shem Hashem nikre lecha, v'yoru mimeka. V'tanya ablo zagol oimeh elu tefillin shebereish. V'chein merameis balaturim, Kerashitavis shall shame Hashem Nikra Hushin. Shame Hash Yutke Vavke Nikra. Vazem Ramas Ashin shall tfillin. Utfilum Mashpiim Yira al Umasailam. Koshapir have a Kurdish of Shemeshal Namshinov. Kivi Yermeka Kavanish Yilmim Ha Yira. Yermeka means they'll learn Yira from you. Ube Eshev Neisrael and Beruma Maila. As Lame de Magoim Yirmi Israel. Vizaniko Yakar. Let's explain what he means to stress over here. He's bringing the Pirush that the Yarmulke as follows. The midah of yira is generated by the imminence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's understand the difference between ava and yira in this prat. Ava works most strongly when a person is distant. I'm drawn to someone there. Absence makes the heart go fonder. I miss the person. I'm yearning for something much better than I have. It's, so the draw of Ahava is always to that which is beyond. Things that are very close, a lot of times you get used to. So the Meshich of Ahava is, you know, Meirochok Nir Hashem Elai, the fact that the person is drawn to that which is beyond him. Ahava is a draw, and b'meil it expresses itself when something is distant. Yira works the other way around. We're not talking about Yira Sainish. We're talking about the Yira of Yira Sarimus. We're talking about the Yira of Abusha. When someone is standing next to me, looking and seeing what I do, that's when it's most powerful. When it's gone, when a person is sort of moves away, then less. The person is going to hear about what happened, or if I see a person at distance looking at me, I don't tend to feel the busha. The busha is because of the closeness of someone. So yira is the mitzvah, is the emotion generated by imminence, by something that's here. Of all the mitzvahs, the one that is meant to generate the most yira is tefillin. Tefillin is the Shem Hashem. It's attached to me. It's something where a person is not supposed to be make roish. And many other halachas about tefillin. Of course, tefillin is the sense of the Ribbono Shel Olam is here. That's the midah that tefillin imbues a person with. The ability to give that over to others. If a person is around, if a person is in contact with people that are real Yirei Hashem, you also feel a tremendous Yira. People, I'll tell you my side. I was once with a chav of mine, was no longer here anymore, Chashev Talmud Chacham, but he was a bach in the mir, and myself, we were in Panovich, and he told me he had learned to Panovich before. I'll introduce him to Chatzal Levenstein. Chatzal Levenstein was a lapid eish. And I said, you know, what pretext? I'll have some pretext. I'll tell him why I want to talk with him. You'll be there. You'll come, whatever it is. I said, fine. We go in. And Chaskel looked like just a pair of glaring eyes. He came out, had no goof. He was already a sucking. He was sitting, he was saying something, diving something, I don't know what, but he was like, he looks up, he tells my friend, so what? What do you want? So my friend started telling him he'd like to talk about whatever. And he looks at him and says, what? Like basically, why drink a cup? And he ran so fast, I didn't know how to get out. I was desperately trying to follow him, but it was like a hot knife cutting through butter, you know, like his what? Like you're drinking a cup. You're not. There's nothing you want to know, you know. And it was like, I never saw anyone run so fast. But the point was, when you live in the presence of Lifnei Hashem, then it bestows on others. And that's what he says, V'yorimi Mekar. They will get Yira from you because Yira is something you can impose on others when it's your Yira, when you have that Yira. So the Yikar, Yikar is Chashivas. It's something which is, it's the Chashivas of standing in front of Hashem that a person gives over to the other. So let's recap this a bit and talk about it. The what he's saying here is every mitzvah comes in two layers. It comes in the chitzainistic layer of asiyah, of doing, and that obviously a person is obligated all the time, always. That's a person's chiyuv, and that. There's a part, and you know, there are redifus, the kais, and so on. But other than that, the person is supposed to do what he's supposed to do. Mitzvahs also contain a ruchnistic wealth. The pnimius of the mitzvahs is an achievement, a ruchnistic achievement, and each mitzvah has its own particular achievement. The only way a person can be tayim that, the only way a person can deher the achievement, is if he lives in a context, in a world, where this type of achievement is mezgala. In a world that is covered over, where ruchnius has no makom, so b'meila the ruchnistic content of the olam mitzvahs is not there. It's there, but it doesn't shine to the person. So part of the klala of galus is that we function in a society where we work hard at doing what's right and have no tam, no geschmack, and no appreciation of what we're doing. Yeah, we're maimim, we're neshlema, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the mitzvahs, Kadosh Baruch Hu keeps cheshbon, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us schar, Kadosh Baruch Hu will chas shalom give us einish, and so on. That's how we look at it. But to appreciate the world of these mitzvahs in themselves, we don't, because the atmosphere of the environment doesn't have it. The environment doesn't contain those values. That's the real call of galus. We're living within other umois. Goy mikar of goy means that the context for us, for our maisim, is the world around us. So in a society where money is all that counts, so everything else doesn't count for anything. And I have no deher, no geschmack in it, because it's meaningless, this society. Just like in a society where they appreciate the football, whatever it is, and a person is brilliant. He's a brilliant scientist. He's doing tremendous research, whatever. It doesn't have that appreciation, that dimension. It's not just that the person is lacking chizuk or encouragement, anything like that. The person is lacking the tam panimi of the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are supposed to be what I do and what I'm toyim, what I absorb from it. And I don't have it. This is especially true when the golos was a golos of gashmias. Modai, it says, oichlen kedoiv, shoysen kedoiv, subolim kedoiv. They're like a big bear, fat, fressing. It was a very hedonistic society. The Megillah starts with a big feast and ends with a feast. It's and full of feasts in the middle. It's cold, cool, just when you live in a world like that, there's no way a person could be toyim any other time him. So when the gzeira broke, when to some degree, means that they were able to be toyim that dimension in the mitzvah. It's not just a flavor. Let's just give one more example, just so I understand the difference. Imagine somebody has somebody is going away on a long journey, and they have a grandchild or a nephew, whatever, somebody, a young child that they want to leave with a parting gift. And they give the child a diamond. So the child is happy. It looks like a marble. It's colorful a little bit. Okay. But the child has no kelim to appreciate a diamond. And it's pathetic. I gave you a diamond, but you can't show, the appreciation you show is for a marble, because that's about as far as you can go. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, part of doing a mitzvah is to be machshiv what it is. And if you don't hear the Ayur and the Torah, if you don't hear the Sasan the Mila and the Kar and the Tefillah and so on, then it's very, very disappointing, so to speak. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Matana Teva. I have Matana Teva Gnuza, based Gnozai, Shabbos, and I'm giving it to you, and we say, okay, Shabbos, Seder. That's the point. The freeing of the Golas gave us back the ability to appreciate mitzvahs, the world mitzvahs, for what betzim it is. Okay, hold it here.